At this time, junior church may be dismissed, and if you'll stand one more time, we're going to sing 818, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Good morning once again. I'm going to ask you to take the Word of God and turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. And I want to begin reading in the first verse of 1 Peter chapter 1. God states, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, Father, as we come before your blessed throne of grace today, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you've given unto us. I thank you for our church and, Lord, the possibility that you have given into our church of souls being saved. And Father, the bright light of Christianity shining from this little hill. And we ask, God, that you would take charge in the lives of every person here today. We thank you, Father, for them making the journey to church today. And we ask now, Lord, that you would take charge in their lives and work in them. Help us, Father, to be diligent about the things that you teach us in your word. Help us, Father, to be committed and dedicated to your word and to your services, Father. And then, Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we look into this lesson today, that you would undergird me and strengthen me, Father, that I might speak only your words. Again, Father, we ask you these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, you may be seated today. Well, I don't mean to be mushy or gushy today, but, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up pretty soon. And, you know, folks will be a little more romantic, maybe, if you will, to each other. Hopefully they will be. Hopefully they're not the other direction. But, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and there are sweet things that are supposed to happen around Valentine's Day. And so we're going to preach a little bit about love today. Amen. On my radio broadcast, I preached about love this morning and the blessings that God gives us in his love. And this morning I'm going to preach about love too, but I'm going to preach it in this under this title. We haven't seen him, but we love him. We haven't seen him, but we love him. How many of you have ever said, I love Jesus? Every one of us. How many of us really believe that? Amen. Hands went up a little slower at that time. And see, the reason for that is because there is an element of doubt that the devil will always throw at us. There's an element of doubt that the devil will try to infiltrate our minds with. And even though that we know that we're saved, and the reason that we love Jesus Christ is because of what he's done for us, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, and the opportunity he's given unto us to be saved and to be able to go to heaven. And that is why we love him, you see. But as we look into this scripture this morning, I wonder, though, how real that really is to each and every one of us. Love is one of the most frivolously used words, I think, in the English language. Because so many people will throw it out there. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you. I love you. But sometimes we're not showing that love, do we? And I honestly believe if we say that we love Jesus, we need to show him that we love him. We need to prove to him that we love him. And so as I think about this, you know, I think of 1 Peter, again, chapter 1 and verse 8, where he says, whom having not seen, you love. And now, if you've never seen anyone, a person, you know, in this earth, how can you say that you love them, you know? But the Bible tells us that we've never seen Jesus in person. Now, of course, he's talking to people that have been saved after the resurrection, after he was physically on this earth. So he's talking to us. He's talking to the church. And he says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I may not have ever seen Jesus face to face like those disciples did, but I'll tell you, my friends, I met him at the cross of Calvary one day. And that precious blood flowed unto me and over me and cleansed my heart. It cleansed my soul. It cleansed every part of this old body right here and gave me an opportunity to accept him and go to heaven. Now, that's not the only reason I got saved, is just to go to heaven. I got saved because I knew that what I was doing was wrong. I knew that what I was doing, the sins that was in my life, that would do nothing but send me to a devil's hell. And I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to heaven. But I didn't want to keep embarrassing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I didn't want to keep doing things that would hurt him and harm him, because he had done so much good for us. Why? Because he loved us. You know, Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, and he prayed unto his Father, and he asked his Father, and I just paraphrase, he asked his Father, you know, if there was any other way that this could happen, that the world could be redeemed, will you let it happen? And some people, some Bible scholars have said in the past that he was trying to get out of going to the cross. No, he wasn't. He was not trying to get out of anything. He was trying to ask the Father if there was any other way for the generations past and the generations present and the generations future, if there was any other way for them to be saved and go to heaven and brought back into fellowship with God like they were at the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve. If they could be it that way, my friend. But there wasn't, was it? There was not another human being on this world that loved the world, really. They might love parts of the world and different things, but they didn't love the world. But God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I like that. I like the way it starts out, that he so loved. That means he made it specific to those people, to each and every one of us, every human being born then and born after and born forward as well. For over 100 years, men and women have followed Jesus Christ. I mean, we've fought for him, we've preached for him, we've prayed with him, we've prayed for him, we've done all kinds of things to merit our love to him. But yet we've never seen him with the eyes that we have in our body. Not in the flesh. Oh, but one of these days, one of these days we're going to get to see him. You know, in my radio message this morning, I was preaching about the fact of going to heaven and seeing him. One of the things that the gifts that God has given unto us, the gifts of love that God has given unto us, and that gift of love that God gave to us to be able to go to heaven, and we'll get to have friends and family that we see. And in that same thing there, understanding that God tells us that there's no tears in heaven. And as we are there in heaven and enjoying the blessings and seeing friends and family and loved ones. But then I think about all the old patriarchs of the Old Testament. And I want to talk to some of these guys. I want to talk to King David, you know. I definitely want to go over and talk to Isaiah. I want to talk to Daniel. I want to ask him about being in the lion's den. I want to talk to all these dear friends. Noah, I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to talk to all these dear people, you know. And then in the New Testament, oh, well, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's all the others that were the first of the 12 disciples. Now, y'all know that Judas won't be there. So we can't talk to him. But we know what God's Word tells about him. And so, as I think about these things, I want to see all those people. But the first one I want to see is Jesus. Amen. Because then I'm going to not only meet him in the Spirit, my friends, not be saved just by the Spirit of God, but I will be saved for sure as I look to him in the face. Now, I'm not saying we have a second work of grace. I'm just simply saying that salvation is pure then when I look at him face to face and see him there. And what will I do then? I'll have to bow and kneel before that holy God the Holy One who has saved me. What a sweet, sweet blessing that is. What a wonderful time. So we haven't seen Him, but yet we love Him. I want to share with you just a few things this morning about that subject. Why we ought to love this unseen Savior. Why should I love Jesus today? Why should I love the fact that there's heaven? And why should I love the fact that God gave His Son, Christ, into this world that we could be saved? Well, the Bible tells us in other scriptures, He tells us the very first reason that we should love Him is because He first loved us. Amen. We had no love for Him. The world had no care or no thought for Him. I think of the antediluvians who were in this world and how they were not looking to the Lord, but yet God loved them as well. And do you know the most evil man or woman on this earth and those that have been on this earth, do you know that God loved them also? He first loves each and every one of us. He loved us while we were dirty, rotten, no good, nothing but filthy sinners. And He loved us. Now you look at me and you say, well, preacher, we're not filthy sinners. Well, yes, you were. And now we're just nothing but sinners saved by grace. And God looked into this world and He saw those things. He saw the hurt and the pain and humanity that He had created. And yet He loved us to send His Son. Excuse me. He loved us when we didn't love Him. He loved us when He went to the cross and died for our sins. He loved us enough to die for us. So He loves us, and the reason we should love Him because He first loved us, but also because He satisfies every request of the soul. You and I today, if we earnestly seek out God, if we earnestly seek out the knowledge of God in His precious Word, if we'll earnestly look for answers in this book, God's Holy Spirit will lead us to the answers in this book that we need. And He loves us enough to not leave us out there after He saves us and say, okay, now, y'all just figure it all out for yourself. I don't have to figure it out for myself anymore because I have someone leading me and guiding me in my heart. The third person of the Holy Trinity leads me and guides me into the Word, and then the Lord shares with me the understanding of this precious book. He does it with every preacher, every evangelist, every missionary. But do you know He does that with you as well? Some people say, well, preacher, I just can't understand the Bible. I can't understand the Word. And that's why I bought that other version of the Bible, because it helps me to understand it. Listen, my friends, it's not the words on the pages that need to be changed. It's the heart of each and every life that needs to be changed, and God's Holy Spirit working in that life to help them understand the words on these pages. Because this book is the Holy Bible. This past Friday night when we had gone down to North Carolina and we finished doing the things with Debbie that we had to get done, went on down, visited some family down there, had supper with them, went over back to the motel where we were staying at, and Tiffany and her daughter Tilly, they came over to the motel with us and to visit us a little bit while longer, and Tilly was just full of energy. Because some of Debbie's family sitting at the table had just filled her full of chocolate cake. And y'all know what chocolate does to some children, you know. I mean, they bounce off the walls then. And Tilly, she was bouncing off the walls for sure. And we got in that room there and she was running around. She had these little cowboy boots on. And she was stomping around there on the floor, you know, and she was doing those things like that. And then she was looking in every drawer. I mean, she opened up every drawer on the little dresser that was in there, the nightstand, she opened it up. And when she opened the nightstand beside the bed, she said, Poppy, there's a book in here. And I said, I know. I said, it's probably the Bible. And so she looked in there. She said, yeah, it's the Bible. And I said, Tilly, I said, how do you know it's the Bible? She said, because you said so. And so I said, well, get it out, Tilly. I said, it's probably the Gideons put it there. So sure enough, she got it out. And it was one of the Gideon Bibles. Well, one of the reasons I don't support the Gideons anymore is because the Gideons years ago went from being King James only to having New King James and NIV, and they'll put them out in the schools, they'll put them out in the motels and things. But just so happened, that Gideon Bible in that motel room, in that dresser drawer, nightstand drawer, when she got it out, she handed it to her mother, and her mother looked at it, and she said, "Yeah, it's King James." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." And so I asked Tilly, I said, "Get that thing, bring it over here." And I said, "So this is the Bible." I said, "This is the Word of God." I said, "It does not contain the Word of God." I said, "It is the Word of God." And I said, "I want you to look on the front of that Bible," and yours may say it too. Some Bibles do, some don't. But on the front of my Bible here, and on the front of that Bible that evening, it said, "Holy Bible." And so I looked at her, and I said, "Tilly," because she can't read yet. I said, "Tilly," I said, "I want you to look at this word right here." I said, "That word there is holy." And I sounded it out for her. And I said, "That next word is Bible." I said, "You need to understand that." And then she opened that Bible up, and she looked at me, and she said, "Poppy," she said, "can you sing some of this to me?" And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, you know. I was going back to my childhood then and trying to remember some of the songs with Scripture. And I thought to myself, and I sang some songs there, some songs that our children here are going to sing when we have our children and youth choir put together. And I sang those to her. She said, "No, Poppy," she said, "sing it from this book." And so I thought for a minute, and I thought, well, okay, let's go over to the Psalms because they're music, you know. And then I got over there, and I was looking at him. I said, "Tilly," I said, "I'm not David, and I don't have a harp in here. I don't have a lyre in here, so, you know, it's going to be hard for me to do this." And I found a couple of them that I remembered from a child that were put into music, and I sang those with her and to her. And then she wanted to hear some with other music. I guess she didn't like my voice, in other words. And so I got my phone, and I looked some of them up on my phone, and I played a couple songs for her. Well, then she was okay, and she was ready to go play again, you know. But my point in telling you that whole story is this blessed book. This book is precious, my friend. And one of the reasons that we should love this unseen Savior is because He has given us a quest from our soul. We can look into this book. We can ask Him questions. We can find out all kinds of things that we need to know, all kinds of things that we want to know one day. And He'll give us the answers for it here if we'll just search it out and seek Him. And I told Tilly that night, I said, "That book is very special." And I said, "You always ought to take care of the Bible." I said, "You ought not to ever lay anything on top of that Bible because it's holy. You need to," and I told him in my radio broadcast this morning, I said, "Don't take that Bible when you get out of church and go to the car and toss that thing on the back shelf of the seat in the window." I know years ago, you know, cars actually years ago used to have a shelf at the back seat of the car. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all older folks? And people would take them things and they'd toss it up on the back shelf. You know, they didn't have SUVs then. You know, they didn't know what SUV was. And then sometimes they'd just take it and go home and toss it on the coffee table. Never touch that thing again until Sunday. Because some of them didn't go to Wednesday night services. And so they'd just toss it there. Pages would be all torn and rattled, and not because they were reading it, because it was worn because of what they were doing with it. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to looking at this message today, and I got to thinking about the fact that God loves us so much that He left this Word for us. And He teaches us and tells us so many things in it. He teaches us about the quest that we have for forgiveness of our sins. When I got saved, I wanted to be forgiven of my sins. I honestly wanted to be forgiven. And I didn't know how to do it until my pastor told me. And I wanted to be forgiven. I didn't want to carry that weight of those sins all through my life. I wanted to be happy. And before I got saved, I was not happy. I was miserable. And I'm not going to go into all the things in my life and my testimony, but I can tell you, my friend, sin will take you down a wrong path, and it'll drop you off and leave you there, friends. I wanted to be happy, and I wanted to have comfort in my life. And I can tell you, when I asked Christ into my heart, the greatest happiness and the greatest comfort came into my heart than that had ever been in my heart, and it's never left. It's there. I also, you know, as a child, I wanted to live forever, you know. As a child, I did just like most of you as children. You know, you read the comics, you know, and you read about the superheroes, and you looked at them on television. If you had a TV in your home, you looked at them. You know, I wanted to be a superhero, because that way I could live forever, you know. And I found out that I could be able to live forever. But it wasn't because I was a superhero. It was simply because I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now I'm going to get to live forever in heaven. You see, hell is different. You see, because if you never accept Jesus Christ, you don't live forever. You die forever. It's eternal death, not eternal life. Eternal life is in heaven with Christ, but eternal death is in hell with Satan and his forces. And so this is why we ought to love this unseen Savior. Now, how can we show our love for this unseen Savior? First of all, important one, the one that's probably right before our eyes, is the fact that we must accept this unseen Savior. We must accept Him as our personal Savior. And then we need to surrender unto Him as our Lord and our Master. A lot of people get saved, but they don't surrender their life unto Him. That means that the Lord has lordship over us, and He tells us what to do, and we obey Him and do things that He tells us to do explicitly, not necessarily what our mind says. Satan used to say, let your conscience be your guide. You better not. Your conscience will lead you to hell. You let the Holy Spirit be your guide, my friends. You let God lead you where He wants to lead you, and that will happen when you accept Him. So we need to surrender unto Him. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He came into this world to give us wonderful things. Now, men and women, a great deal of men and women over the years have given their lives to go to mission fields, to go to places where no one else would go, and many of them have lost their lives because they did that. And maybe one day God may call somebody out of this church to be a missionary. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Maybe one day God may call somebody out of this church to be a preacher, to be passionate about the Word of God, to be passionate about the things that God tells us. Most of all, to be passionate about winning souls to Jesus Christ. And I'm talking to some of you young people that are in here today. I know some of y'all are passionate about your sports. You're passionate about playing softball and soccer and basketball and baseball and all those others, whatever it may be. I know you're passionate about dancing. Praise the Lord, you know. Crystal, she finally stuck on something, right? First time I talked to Peyton or had a good conversation with Peyton, Peyton was telling me about all the different things that she had tried to do. She finally stuck on one, you know. And maybe your children or grandchildren are doing the same thing. But those are good things, and I know we're passionate about those things. But my friends, the greatest thing to be passionate about, to have passion for, is our Lord and our Savior, and helping people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. It would be such a blessing to know that. Jesus came, and He became the greatest missionary on the greatest mission our world has ever known or will ever know. He came to die for lost sinners and to seek and save us. So He sees the sinner. He saw Adam and Eve. He saw Cain. He saw Judas. He saw Judas before He even called him. Job chapter 31 and verse 4 says, doth not He see my ways and count all my steps? God knows us. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You say, preacher, I can't do these things. I can't be a preacher. I can't go be a missionary. I can't be a gospel singer. I can't do these things. Look at me. If God can use me, God can use anybody. And God does not look on the outside of a person. He does not look at your handicaps. He does not look at your fallacies. He does not look necessarily even at your health. He doesn't look at how you look on the outside, if you're gorgeous or not gorgeous, if you're handsome or not handsome. He does not look at that. He does not take that in account at all, because we were made in His image. So He does not look at us in a wrong way, because everyone in the sight of God is beautiful in the sight of God, because they are His creation, you see. So He does not look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And that's why every one of us, our hearts need to be pure. Our hearts need to be right. Our heart needs to be with God. And our heart needs to have His passion, my friends. You know, at Easter time, we talk about the passion of Christ. What was His passion? I just got through reading it to you. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And to do that, He had to die on the cross for each and every one of us. Are we willing to die for Jesus? I stand before you right now, and I'm telling you this from my heart, friends. This is the truth. I'm willing to die for Jesus. I'll stand right here and proclaim Jesus as long as I can. If someone came in here to shoot me right now for my beliefs and my stand, I would still say yes. Would I be a little afraid? I think so, because I'm human, you know. And I know that bullet would probably hurt, you know. But I will tell you this, you know. That next moment, I'd be with the Lord. So why would I have to worry? You know? I honestly believe it probably wouldn't be any pain at all. It'd be just like that, and I'd be with the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and find somebody to shoot you, you know, to have passion. I'm just simply telling you, you need to have passion for the Lord. We need to have a heart for the Lord. You know, those little candy hearts that you used to get in a little box, you know, and one of them says, be mine, the other one says, love you, or whatever, you know. We need to have a heart for the Lord. And it needs to be your heart to the Lord, you know. You need to send Him a be mine heart. You need to send Him a Valentine card. And maybe it might be good for every one of you to sit down and just write the Lord a letter. Some of you keep journals. Some of you write letters still. Just sit down and write Him a letter and tell Him how much you love Him. You say, well, preacher, I can't mail that to the Lord. No, you can't mail it, but do you know the Lord will know every word that you say in that? Sit down and write Him a letter and tell Him how much you love Him, how much you care for Him. Be a good Valentine present to the Lord this year, wouldn't it? And so He sees the sinner, but we also find that He sympathizes with the sinner. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, He says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Miss Joyce right now is hurting because of her son and the things that's going on with her son right now. But do you know that the Lord knows those things? And I shared this verse with her the other day when I was at the hospital with her. And I told her, I said, you know, the Lord knows what we go through. She says, I know. But it still hurts. And it does. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We have a shepherd today. I'm not the shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd. We have a shepherd today, my friends, that leads us and guides us, does everything for us, gives us breath to breathe every single day, gave us that sweet ice that fell yesterday, you know, and the rain and the mixture of flurries in with it. He gave us all that. He gave us the knowledge to be able to clean it up, you know, afterwards. He gave us the knowledge and all these things. He sees the sinner, He sympathizes with the sinner, and He also seeks the sinner. He speaks to the sinner also. He speaks through the Word. We have that understanding in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, John chapter 6, verse 37, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. All these verses tell us that He speaks to us, and He speaks to us through His Spirit, He speaks through the Gospel, and He speaks through sorrows sometimes that we find ourselves in. But that's not the only thing He does for us. He also saves the sinner. You and I that are here today that were once lost and now we're saved because He sought us out and saved us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And after we're saved, you know what else He does for us? He satisfies us. You remember that old gospel song? I'm satisfied. And I'm not going to sing the rest of it. But God satisfies us. John chapter 14 and verse 4 says, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What a sweet, sweet thing that is, you know, the salvation that God brings into us. You see, friends, the reason that we should love this unseen Savior is because He loves us. Do you know He loved us before He saw us? He loves us and loved us before He even knew us. Before we were born, He loved us. And praise God, He still loves us now. There are babies being born in hospitals and in homes all around this world right now. I can't tell you how many, but I'm sure there are babies being born. And you know what? On this, their birthday, Jesus loves them. It's one of the songs that we sung to Tilly the other night. Jesus loves me. And Jesus loves me should not just be a children's song. Jesus loves me should be a gospel song that we all sing. And then there's this song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are what? Precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Every one of us. And honestly, folks, we're all children, are we not? Wouldn't it be good to just open up your arms right now and say, Jesus, let me give you a hug and you give me a hug. Because we sure need that. Well, that to me is what Valentine's is all about. I love my wife and I love my family. But I can tell you, friends, I love Jesus more than all. Do you? Do you? Let's stand. Now, Father, as we come before Your precious throne of grace, we know that it is grace that You have given unto us. Lord, I don't deserve to stand behind this pulpit and preach Your gospel. Lord, I know I don't deserve to even be in church. I don't deserve to be alive today. Father, what I simply deserve is a devil's hell. But Father, I'm so thankful and blessed that You gave me and every one of these people in this congregation, every member and visitor that comes in and out of this church, Lord, You gave us all that precious opportunity to accept You as Savior. To be repentant of our sins and to believe and trust in You, Father. And then, Lord, oh my goodness, how good You've been to us. And yet, we'll look at Valentine's Day and we'll go to stores and buy candy and nuts and gifts and cards and all kinds of things like this for our loved ones. But what are we getting for You? Lord, you're the one that should be the most loved because of all the love that you've given us. So, Father, first of all, I ask for forgiveness. And then, Father, I pray for our congregation. I pray, Father, for this world and congregations just like ours, a faithful, same-minded people, Lord, to fall in love with you and fall out of love with sin. And these things, Father, I ask in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, my friends, I'm going to ask you today, if you would look this way, Crystal's coming. Heather's got a song of invitation for us. And if God's spoken to your heart today, I want you to come. I want you to come kneel at this old-fashioned altar, and I want you to just fall in love with Jesus again. If you're a Christian, fall in love with him again. Rededicate that life. If you're not a Christian, if you've never been saved, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar too. And I'm going to ask you to kneel and bow and ask Christ into your heart. Tell him that you know that you're a sinner, that you're lost, and that you want to go to heaven. And you want his love in your heart. What number, sister?
67.
Number 67. At the house or here in the office sometimes, and Trudy knows this, sometimes I have a heavy heart, and I'll sit in the office sometimes and weep, you know, because I know God loves me so much. And I have a heavy heart for people. I have a heavy heart for those that are sick and afflicted, but I also have a heavy heart for those that are lost. Heavy heart for some of y'all when you go astray. I'll be honest with you. I pray and ask God to bring you back. And that's what Christianity is about. It's about loving the Lord and just praising him daily. Fall in love with him, my friends. If you've not yet, fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him because he sure loves you. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, as we come before your blessed throne, thank you again, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of your love to us. And Father, the greatness of that love, the height and the depth of it, Lord. And I ask, Father, now that you might instill that sweet peace and that desire within our hearts to love you even more. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord. And help us. Bless us the rest of this day, Father. Help us to be safe going home. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to be back here on Wednesday night, Lord. And I ask God that, Lord, if you come between now and that time, Lord, I will look forward to seeing you in the sky and all these folks, my friends. And so, Lord, I just ask now that you would take charge. Lord, move upon us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, no services here tonight.